I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
So BLM have almost had another martyr, and they're now playing racial politics with the near-fatal and very tragic circumstances of the shooting of a 16-year-old boy called Ralph Yarl by an 84-year-old man called Andrew Lester in Kansas City, Missouri. The facts are obviously still coming out, and some people have raised questions as to just how much a case this was of mistaken identity. I think we're going to go through some of the facts here and maybe parcel out the fact that this does really seem to be a mistake that all of the race activists have jumped on. And then we're going to look at some other stories as well, which are happening around the same time, that they've decided to deliberately cast their eyes away from because it's very bad for the narrative. And I just wanted to expose the disparity in, well, we already know that they don't particularly care about young black kids because they don't really care if they're getting shot on the south side of Chicago, but they do care when it's got a racial motivation that allows them to dismantle the police and get more money for their activist organizations. So just useful to point these things out continuously. If you'd like some more information on why American cities are being burned to the ground repeatedly, you can go over to our website, pay us £5 a month to keep the lights on and keep doing journalism like this, and watch Dan and Carl's discussion on how American society is collapsing because of the disintegration of the social contract model and the outsourcing of the ability to police communities to law enforcement. And then over time, when law enforcement and politicians become less virtuous, then there's nothing holding the society together other than them picking and playing favorites with their protected groups and letting some groups be criminals and paying some groups wages and welfare and allowing other groups to be unilaterally tyrannized by the state. And we can see that, unfortunately, with the devouring mother approach taken to the American black community, who are largely welfare dependent, have no intact families, and are allowed without any prosecution to go and raid shoe stores. And I don't think that's very good for the community at all. So if we can go on to this first article, this is from the New York Times. This is the criminal complaint for the Ralph Yarl shooting. So at 21:52 p.m. on the 13th of April, officers were dispatched to Lester's home, Andrew Lester, and found Ralph Yarl lying in the street with gunshot wounds to his arm and his forehead. 84-year-old Lester claims that, living alone, he was scared that Yarl was breaking into his house late at night after he came to the door and saw Yarl pulling on the exterior storm door handle. So he wasn't ringing the doorbell, as some people have claimed. He was trying to get into the house, and we'll discuss why in a minute. Lester then fired three shots through the glass screen door, breaking it. Lester had said no words to Yarl. He just pulled out his revolver. So he isn't mandated to give a verbal warning, given the gun laws in the state, which we'll go on to in a moment. But it does demonstrate that he was so scared that he just thought, I have to fire to get this intruder away.
You can't blame 84,
living alone.
Yeah, you can't blame him for being scared when it was at 10 o'clock at night as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and a nearly 6 foot 16-year-old kid is trying his door handle that he's never met before. Yarl wasn't trying to break into the home, as it seems, but Lester didn't know that. So it just seems to be a tragic misunderstanding. A witness had actually said that Yarl then ran and was knocking on neighbors' doors, desperately asking for help. The same witness then remarked that he thought it odd that his elderly neighbor, which was Lester, would have a visitor so late at night. So again, does lend credibility to the fact that it seems to be just a mistake. Lester then called the police immediately and was brought in for questioning. He was booked, charged with aggravated assault, and has since been released on $200,000 of bail. The officer on scene had observed cameras on the south and east side of the residence, so we might actually get the footage of the encounter at some point. Now, obviously, there are some questions here as to how the events unfolded, because people are saying, well, Leicester lives at a house that is completely different to Yarl's, because the reason Yarl turned up at Leicester's house is because he is saying that he went to pick up his brothers from a friend's house. Now, people went, well, obviously he would know where his friend lives, he would know what the house must look like, he would know where his brothers are, so this doesn't really make sense. I decided to do a bit of digging, and I'm happy to be corrected if this is incorrect, but within the police report it says that Yarl's mother told him to pick his brothers up from 1100 Northeast 115th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. If we go on to this one, this is the address, which is Leicester's home. So his mother texted him this to pick him up from. But the address that his brother's friends were actually at was 1100 Northeast, 115th Terrace, Kansas City, Missouri.
That's such an easy mistake to make, yeah, isn't it? I'm pretty sure I've made that mistake trying to find places I've not been to before.
Yeah, and if Yarl has never been to the house before, he wouldn't know the difference in how it looks, because if we go on to this next tab, this is the address for the terrace one. They look completely different, they're detached, but if he's never been to the house, he wouldn't know what it looks like. His mum has just texted him the wrong address with one word difference by mistake, and that nearly was the difference between life and death. And so I don't think we should blame the mother for this at all either, because it's just a simple typing mistake.
Like, 99 times out of 100, that would be an innocent mistake, yeah, that someone would come to the door and be like, oh, sorry, you've got the wrong address.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've had it happen to me on both sides of it. I've had people come to my house and I've gone to the wrong place. Mm. Normally, it's just like, oh, sorry. And then you go your separate ways, don't you?
Yeah, you're almost gutted that Ralph didn't just try to knock and call out rather than try the door handle. But then again, it's not his fault. It's just a series of tragic accidents. So was Leicester justified in shooting? We've already discussed this, but this is actually the legal case that we brought up when he eventually comes to trial. This is Missouri's Castle Doctrine. So its self-defense laws say that physical force may be used when individuals reasonably believe that the physical force is used necessary for the defense of themselves or others from an imminent attack of unlawful force of another person. Or they may be used when individuals believe that the force is reasonably necessary to prevent another person from stealing, causing property damage, or tampering. Now, legally speaking, because Yarl had entered the property and was in the porch and was tugging at the second door, he was guilty of burglary. But it's unlikely, obviously, that Leicester will press charges, because Leicester feels incredibly guilty about mistakenly shooting him. Hopefully the Yarl family will not press charges, even though I have seen that Yarl's aunt seems to be some kind of activist who is all on board. And we'll get to the Yarl family attorney later as to why this has been co-opted by the BLM activists. So it's not looking great. Now, this was also this precedent here was an issue in the Ken and Karen McCloskey case.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were the couple that stood on their doorstep in St. Louis, Missouri, when a bunch of BLM activists broke into their gated community and were marching down the street.
They looked like new GTA characters, didn't they?
Yeah. It was a brilliant image, but people were saying, how dare you wave your gun around at peaceful protesters? No, they had broken into their gated community. They had burned down cities and buildings around the area the night before, and the McCloskeys had sunk lots of money into renovating this brand new house. Of course they were justified under the Castle Doctrine of Missouri to defend the house. No shots were fired, but they were completely fine to do so.
Well, I think in that case, the fact that they went out on their doorstep and kind of waved around their guns is like a way of saying, I don't want to be forced into a violent situation. I want you to go away.
Yeah, and they also...
If you were actually out to hurt people, you wouldn't make your presence known, would you?
No. And also in Missouri, as it says here, the homeowners have no duty to retreat from their dwelling, residence, vehicle, private property, or if the person is in any other location where they have the right to be. So even though it is a tragic accident that Yarl was shot, Leicester was completely justified in shooting him, presuming he was breaking into his home. It's just a shame that he wasn't. So Yarl is actually conscious and is expected to make a good recovery, because even though he was shot in the forehead, it didn't go through and harm him. So very lucky escape there. It doesn't stop the race activists from jumping on the bandwagon. As we can go to the next one, the kids from Yarl's school decided to do a mass march because they wanted the day off, and they have signs saying stop the hate. There is no racial motivation to this at all from Andrew Leicester. He handed himself in. He feels great remorse about it. He didn't even know Ralph Yarl, but these kids just want
to... Would he even be able to see his... skin color through the door?
I don't think there were any door. Yeah, but I don't know if there are any external lights on in the outside of the house either. We don't know that. This is again why we need the footage to come out from the cameras. Also, Sean King got on it, and Sean King gave away the address.
Old Talcum X over here.
Yeah, and this is why. And so we've already had the address given out in the police report by the New York Times, and I obviously showed it there. I had no reservations giving it out because Sean King directed the activists to go to the house with this tweet, and we can see that they went there immediately after a renter mob materialized with bongo drums and signs pre-made, and they're now shouting outside of Andrew Lester's house with "disarm hate." So gun control activists and BLM grifters outside the house of an 84-year-old terrorized man who mistakenly shot a kid and handed himself in and feels remorse for it. It's so disingenuous and just disgusting. So we go to the next one. Biden called up Ralph Yarr, because of course he did. He's invited him to the White House, and Clay County prosecutor Zachary Thompson, which is the county that Lester shot Yarl in, said investigators believe there was a racial component in the shooting, but he refused to elaborate. So we're going to get another Derek Chauvin case of where you're going to try it on racial motivation. Bless you.
Sorry.
Don't apologize. Even though there is zero evidence of racial animosity, it's just that a white man shot a black kid.
Mm.
No context whatsoever. They just see color. And this man could have his life ruined, even though legally speaking, he was okay. And there was absolutely no hatred in his heart when he shot this kid. He was just felt threatened and terrified for his life, which, given the lack of context provided to their interaction, is understandable. It's just tragic. If we go to the next one as well, Ben Crump is involved. He's the family's attorney. Now, if you don't know Ben Crump was the lawyer for Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, and Jacob Blake. So all of BLM's hoaxes in the last 10 years.
Full set.
Yeah, and he's also representing the family of Malcolm X for a $100 million wrongful death lawsuit against the CIA, FBI, and the NYPD. No mention of the Nation of Islam there. How curious. All right, then. Attorney Crump questioned why Lester was not detained longer. Nobody can tell us if the roles were reversed and you had a black man shoot a white 16-year-old teenager for merely ringing his doorbell, not what happened, that he would not be arrested. I mean, the citizen went home and slept in his bed that night after shooting a young black kid in the head, Crump told CNN.
They're presuming he went to sleep. I imagine he probably didn't sleep very well.
Yeah, well, his mugshot doesn't exactly look like he's having a great time, does he? He looks very stressed. And again, he's an old man and clearly not that well, particularly given one of his eyes isn't very, very functional. So just assuming animosity to grift off of it, I suppose. We'll also get to how the roles are reversed in a minute and you totally just ignore it. But also interesting in this article, if you scroll up to the top, John, if you notice the title is "The Capital W White Homeowner Accused of Shooting Capital B Black Teen Who Rang His Doorbell Turns Himself In As Released on Bail." Notice how they are capitalizing the races to create distinct racial tribes in America because they want to incite a war of all against all. They just hope that the capital B black tribe will win out as a parallel nation. It's deliberate divide and conquer agenda. The Kansas City mayor said he believes Ralph was racially profiled by the shooter. This boy was shot because he was existing while black, Mayor Lucas said. It's just tiresome. If we go on to the next one, Ralph Yarl has also been said by Ben Crump that he was armed only with black skin. That's why he was shot.
These people belong in padded rooms for saying this sort of stuff because he shot someone trying to get into his home. I don't think he racially profiled the person.
I don't think he had time to. I think he was just probably terrified out of his mind.
Yeah.
That's why it's tragic. But it's too profitable to just lie, I suppose. Total silence on this next case, though, that happened. And I found this as I was coming into the studio on Thursday. A six-year-old and her parents have been shot in Wisconsin by a black man who... her basketball seemed to have rolled onto his lawn. Completely reasonless. So the police are looking for the gunman after the six-year-old girl and her parents were shot Tuesday night in Gaston County. Apparently, the basketball that rolled into the suspect's yard was on the area of April Drive and Grier Street, which is a neighborhood south of Gastonia. Neighbors said that several young children were playing basketball and the ball rolled down the street and into Robert Singletary's yard. They said Singletary got mad, ran down the street, firing a gun at a neighbor. They said Singletary then came back, shooting at William White as White ran with his six-year-old daughter, Kinsley. His last name is literally capital W White. Like, you could not get a more universally ironic story to happen at the same time and everyone's just ignoring it. Kinsley and her father were seriously hurt. Her mother, Ashley Hildebrand, was grazed by a bullet and is back home now, but William White's still in hospital. We don't even know the man, Kinsley said. Another instance of where they have no idea. It's not like the family were being aggressively racially profiling, and a black guy has shot a white family for overreacting to a basketball rolling into his yard. Nobody's saying anything.
He obviously wasn't under threat by a six-year-old girl, was he?
No. There was also an instance of mistaken identity, which I haven't included here, but I heard about just before we came on air, of a couple of Texas cheerleaders got into the wrong car, and I believe it was a black driver shot them too. So this has happened all within the space of a week. But notice which story is getting the most coverage because it's the most profitable for the race activists.
I've done that before where I've got into a car and I started saying, I thought it was my dad's car. And I was just like, I started talking to them and then they turned around and said, I'm not your dad. And I was just like, whoa, what am I doing?
Yeah, that's incredibly risky. I wouldn't advise that, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't do that.
Make sure your Uber is an Uber. Also, what's going on in Chicago at the moment? Because that seems to be a place where lots of young black kids are dying. Well, the teen takeover, teens of no particular demographic at all, I'm sure, has been happening for almost a week now. They've been organized via social media, a bit like the 2011 London riots were, organized over BBM. And two boys aged 6 and 17 have been wounded. One 16-year-old has been charged for unlawful use of a firearm. They've also hospitalized another man when they smashed and jumped on his car. So it's just been a bunch of feral teenagers running through Chicago, burning Teslas and stealing shoes. Basically silence on this, other than a few clips on social media, and we'll go through two of those. The first one I will play to you. The other one we might actually have to censor for YouTube because of their violence policy. But I'll say you wouldn't probably see it the other way around. But anyway, this is what's been happening. This is why Walmart is moving out of Chicago, because this is a local Walmart where a woman who I can only assume is a black American because she sounds it and it fits the racial demographic of the area, is lamenting how she can't buy food for her children because a smash and grab has been conducted on literally everything. Let's play the clip.
Every grocery store looks like this. Everything is either on the floor.
Notice how they left the vegetables.
Look at this. Can't even get no fucking food for my kids, G. Look at this. Came in the store to try to buy something because I'm not a thief. Look at this. In my hood, can't even get no food for my kids. Babies need milk. Can't even get nothing for my kids, bro. I feel like an animal, and black people made me feel like an animal. Y'all did this to us. Look at this. Look at this. Look at the store. Look at this. But this is what we're fighting for. This is honoring George Floyd. People who already couldn't feed their kids, now they really can't feed their kids. Look at this. I am so devastated right now. I am so devastated right now, G. This is not okay. For us to have to live like this, we do stupid shit like this all the time, and we so black proud. We so black and proud that we ain't gonna never be honest and be real about what's really going on. Y'all are so wrong for this. You came in your neighborhood. I'm not a thief. I'm not coming in this store and stealing nothing. And ain't nobody gonna turn me into no animal or make me feel like a thief. Y'all let them white folks send y'all off once again. Look at all this shit on the floor. Look at all this on the floor. Everything. Everything's on the floor. Tissue. We couldn't even find tissue less than 2 months ago, and now it's on the floor. Look at it. Meanwhile, we got plenty of fruits and vegetables. I'm not finna pick through.
Like how fruits and vegetables and the gift cards were the only things left untouched, more or less.
Yeah, I don't think many of the looters are going to be picking out Father's Day cards, let's put it that way. And that's the reason why they're enacting this behavior, because they've not been raised correctly, because the state has stepped in and subsidized single motherhood and completely destroyed the black family and has made it so that the criminal element of black Americans has come to define their community and discourage law-abiding, self-educating, entrepreneurial behavior. And women like this, who aren't thieves and would like to just pay for groceries to keep their kids alive, have to resort to picking through the refuse of something that looks like a zombie apocalypse scenario. And eventually, if it gets too bad, people will just start to be incentivized to steal just like the rest of the community, because they get desperate, because it's an eat or be eaten scenario.
This isn't, you can't even use the excuse of poverty that some left-wingers might use, because even in the third world, they don't do this.
No.
This is a uniquely American problem.
Yeah,
I suppose I could say
it's a uniquely inner city problem, because you saw the same thing exactly, with the 2011 London riots, and this is unfortunately largely ethnic minority groups who are fatherless, who form gangs, who are very materialistic and just want to steal things they think they're entitled to, rather than put the hard work in and earn something like a family. Like I hope this woman is doing, and unfortunately is being penalized for that. And it's tragic. And so again, you can't pretend anyone who's still buying the pill that BLM is representative of the black interest, you can't pretend that they care about black people when law-abiding black people are trying to just get by and they walk up to devastating scenes like this. The non-law-abiding black people, however, if we go to this next one, which you probably won't be able to watch on YouTube, and we're not going to play the clip just because it's a lot of shouting and screaming, there was a mob that decided to randomly attack an interracial couple, and the video that initially went viral before the details came out was just a mob of black men beating up and choking a white woman. I hesitate to say this is kind of representative of politics of the last few years, but you don't really see it the other way around. And people were saying, oh, conservatives wouldn't get outraged if there was a video of a black woman being beaten up by white men. And I just say, show me one. Show me one. Seriously, we do have to talk about this. It's gotten to that point. Like, this is something you are running the risk of if you are living in a city with a high black population who have been deliberately propagandized by media and academia over the last few years to think that all of civilization is a white supremacist edifice conducting genocide on them, and that you have stolen everything they are entitled to. And so they are allowed to indiscriminately attack you and take what they can from you just to survive. Like, I wouldn't want to live near that. I wouldn't. And the racial balkanization is happening because one group sees themselves as entitled to beat you up indiscriminately because they have been oppressed forever by your ancestors or something. You can't have a civilization like that. If we go to the Fox News article that actually did an interview with them for the details, Ashley and DJ told America Reports on Tuesday they had been looking for a spot to get food Saturday night in Chicago when they found themselves trying to navigate a large crowd. People in the crowd pushed the couple and DJ stood up to them and the fight broke out. As soon as they pushed me, I told DJ, Ashley said, I said, hey, they just shoved me. And he asked them, they were like, yo, don't shove her. Who shoved her? And he said, as soon as that, everything went crazy. They said they were going to kill us. The mob pushed Ashley to the ground and immediately turned on DJ to beat him. They robbed the couple, stealing their shoes, phones, pair of glasses, and an Apple Watch and a hat. Obviously just trying to get bread. Ashley said she saw the police drive past them as she was getting up from the ground after the attack. They almost had to avoid the collision to get past us, but they drove by the accident in the middle of the street. Now, why is it that the police are not attending to this riot? Why is it the police in Chicago are doing basically nothing? Well, if we go to this next one, do you know Chicago outlawed foot chases for the police?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. So this was, I believe it was because of a foot chase that led to a cop shooting a kid that looked like he was discarding a gun. Correct me if I'm incorrect about this, but Chicago police officers are no longer allowed to chase people on foot simply because they've run away or committed minor offenses. Chicago Police Superintendent David Brown says he expects the new policy will make the officers and the public safer, as has happened in other cities with similar policies. So the premise is here that the police are a clear and present danger to the citizens they're meant to be policing, and there's some kind of unjust imposition on a civilization that would be otherwise totally benevolent and law-abiding and moral if the police weren't there to terrorize them at all points.
Utter madness, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's a delusional thing that's disproven by Lord of the Flies. If we go to this next one as well, the new mayor has said that the defunding the police is not a slogan, but it's an explicit political goal. And he was rebuking Obama when he said this. So he's even more radical than Barack Obama, the man who said all the way back in 2014, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. So the germination point of this animosity and this activism has been surpassed by the current politicians that are just making the problem worse in these cities. And if we go to the next one, the mayor-elect, Brandon, said that, I in no way condone the destructive activity we saw in the Loop and Lakefront this weekend. It's unacceptable and has no place in our city. However, it is not constructive to demonize youth who have otherwise been starved of opportunities in their own communities. Ah, if we just had more community centers, they wouldn't be burning down the city.
Those poor criminals. Oh, you got to weep for them, haven't you?
Yeah, I think we should have canings and lashings. I think we should take the Singaporean route. I think we should make public examples of people that want to beat people up, burn their Teslas and steal Nikes for fun.
I mean, I don't disagree.
Yeah. If we go to this next one as well, is it making the community safer? Well, here's a WirePoint survey of America's 75 largest cities in 2022. On page 3, it says Chicago had the highest homicide rate in America with 679. Now, per capita, it was New Orleans with 74.3 homicides per 100,000 citizens. And St. Louis, Missouri, at 68.2, up 6% since 2019. You see why Lester might have been slightly concerned that a young man was tugging at his door handle in the middle of the night. This analysis only counts criminal homicides as well, so this excludes lawful self-defense cases, so it's pretty rigorous. Kansas City, Missouri, where the original Leicester case happened, came in at 19th place with 167th homicides, but 9th place for per capita homicides at 32.8 per 100,000 citizens. 7% increase since 2019. So before the defund the police movement, things are only getting worse. And it's no coincidence then, if you go to the next, that life expectancy, if you scroll down please, John, the 20-year life expectancy gap maps almost exactly to the population density of Black Americans in America. Are we really saying that it's due to health disparities and socioeconomic factors? Or is there something wrong with these communities where young children are shooting each other? Can we have this conversation yet? Or do Black lives only matter when it's killed by a white person? Or not even killed, just shot in a mistaken identity case? It's utterly abhorrent. And Black lives clearly don't matter to these people, because this is one final case I'll seize on that they haven't spoken about because it's inconvenient to the narrative. 4 victims were killed at an Alabama Sweet 16 party. So 32 others were injured. 15 teens were hospitalized in a mass shooting at 10:34 p.m. on the Saturday that this was reported in, on the 17th of April. So that would have been the 15th of April in a venue in downtown Dullville in Alabama. So the 4 killed were Corbin DeHomentry Holston, Marshia Emmanuel Collins, Philostavius Dowdle, and Shorvanika Kiki Nicole Smith. So these are 4 kids who are about to go to college who have had their lives cut short by a random gunman, probably also Black, because that's just the profile of shootings in the US. And again, complete radio silence. And so I suppose that victims are only chosen if they're convenient to the narrative. But until the media decides to get honest, you're just going to get more Black kids and more burned down cities.
Thanks for watching that segment from the podcast Lotus Eaters. I hope you enjoyed it. If you fancy exploring more of what we do, you can go to our website, lotuseaters.com, and access all of our premium work that we do by becoming a premium subscriber for as little as £5 per month. For instance, we've got recent epochs where Carl and Beau talk about the Assyrians. This is part 2 of the series that they're doing currently. If you'd like to know more of what Beau does on a day-to-day basis and his thoughts on things, you can follow him on Twitter at HistoryBro1. Thank you and take care.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.